Well, it feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? What is going on? You know, the world just seems to be bouncing around. There's so much, often so much conflict, so much angst. And we want to do something. We want to make it better. We want to change something. And often we think we want to change other people. Well, if they would just be like this, or if they would just do that, if they would just be different, things would be okay. Have you ever wanted to change someone? I ask you to think back to when you were dating, okay, whenever that was. Sometimes you'd meet somebody, you know, if only he would do that, you know, just be more considerate maybe, or if he'd wear different clothes, you know, or if only, you know, we think sometimes, and then there's a stereotypical view of women who believe that they can change what the guy wears. You can change him so that he'll wear the proper clothing. You know, have you ever heard women talk about, well, when we get married, I'll fix that. But we can't change anyone, can we? Seriously, when we're thinking about wanting to change one another, it's often, more often, that we want to help. We see people, usually our friends, our loved ones, suffering. We see maybe health challenges or going through a tough time. And we would love to do something. We would love to make it better. Sometimes we can do something in the outer that will help, but often we feel like that's it, you know, and we're kind of stuck. But there is something that we can do. We can always pray. And you might think, oh yeah, but does that work? Does that work? Who has prayed for someone and it didn't seem to do anything? Ever had that happen? Yeah. Yeah, and it just seems like, well, it didn't work. And so what we end up thinking sometimes, first we might think, I'm not doing it right. Maybe if I said different words or if I did this differently, maybe it would be more effective. Or worse, we might be feeling that we're not worthy. I mean, I come from a traditional background, not Unity, and Unity teaches love and that we are all innately good from birth, but some of the other traditions don't. And so we could have this deep sense of unworthiness, and that pops out sometimes. So when we pray and it doesn't work, we think, well, you know, I guess I wasn't good enough. Or the other person isn't good enough. You know, perhaps we feel that way. Or maybe we think it's about God. Maybe we think that nothing's happening because God's not listening. God doesn't care. You know, it could be any number of things that help us to believe that prayer isn't working. Well, we all want to help our friends and our loved ones. And if we're going to pray for them, what we want to do is to set it right, or to set it right, we want to see it right. And this, I believe, is what Jesus did. Jesus changed others, did he not, with his actions? Did he do it, or did they do it? Yes, that's the answer. Well, I'm done. Let me convince you some more. Well, one place that we, the woman who touched his robe. Here we go. As he went, the crowds pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling. And falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Another example of Jesus healing someone. This is in Matthew. This is the, these are the blind men. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. And the last example, and there are many, many, many examples, but this one is also in Matthew. This is the man who was paralyzed and couldn't walk. It says, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "stand up and take your bed and go to your home." And he stood up and went to his home. When the crowds saw it, they were filled with awe, and they glorified God who had given such authority to human beings. So Jesus was certainly an instrument. Was this prayer? Did Jesus heal them? Did he change them? Or did they do it themselves? Eric Butterworth's book, Celebrate Yourself, which has been sort of my inspiration for the talks this month, say that there are four ways to be an influence through which changes can be in effect or effected. A quote by him says, "All the persons about whom you are concerned, no matter how much you love or hate them, exist, as far as you're concerned, in your mind, your prejudices, your concerns. Though it is certainly possible to be an influence for good in bringing about great changes, the process involves something you do within yourself." So now we're beginning to get a little bit different view of it. I mean, you already know that they did it themselves, but it was something in them that caused the healing. Jesus was the instrument. So these four ways, he calls it four ways to be an influence. The first one is pray. Again, in traditional prayer, Butterworth says, and I think it's kind of cute, he's funny, he says, often prayer is really just concentrated worry. Have you heard prayers like that? "Dear Lord, I am just so sick. I don't know what I'm going to do. There's no money." You know, it just goes on and on. It's a litany of the ills and so forth. But we in prayer, to be effective, we must lift our consciousness. We must lift our thinking. When we feel worry or concern, and isn't that easy to do if we see somebody that is hurting or suffering? We need to lift our thoughts. That isn't always easy, but if we can remember that there is all sufficiency in each and every person, then we can begin to learn to see past the appearance. That's the first step. And when we talk about prayer, it really is, and at least in the very beginning, it is changing your mind. It is moving away from what's wrong and putting the mind on the truth with a capital T, the truth that this is a temporary condition, or that we have everything we need to be whole. So whenever you feel concern, lift your thoughts to release those ideas of lack and limitation and move toward inner peace. This is what we call the unity way of praying. It's called affirmative prayer. What we do. We are just finishing. This week will be our last week of the class, Unity Prayer, and it's been wonderful. There's been great discussion, and I think it's been insightful for all of us, including me. It is very different. You know, a prayer can be, you know, what Jesus did was prayer, but it doesn't sound like, dear God, you know, please do this for me. It's very different. It is seeing past the appearance and holding and knowing the truth about a person. And this is what we teach in our Prayer Chaplain program. We teach that whenever someone is coming to us for prayer, that we move our attention to our heart from our heads. And in that space, in that connection, then we listen and we see past appearance and affirm the truth for the person. And then we release it and know that it is done. It is very powerful. It's very, very powerful. Butterworth suggests that we use the term namaskar. Anybody heard? I'm sure that you've heard that before. Namaskar, namaste, namaste. Yeah, namaskar is very much like that. It is the divinity in me recognizes and salutes the divinity in you. So if you say namaskar to someone, it is the higher part of me knowing that there is a higher part of you and recognizing that, saluting that. So when we say pray, that's the first part. The second is conviction in the divinity of humankind. Now, is that easy? What's going on? Sometimes it's not so easy. Our country, I think, is maybe the world is more polarized than I believe I've ever seen it in my lifetime. So to believe in the divinity of human, to know that for every single person that is out there, that there is a divine part of them, that there is a Christ in there, that's the reality of them, whether it's covered over or not, isn't always easy. We want in our human selves to go us and them. But we are all humans. We are all on the same, on a spiritual path, just in different places. So instead of generalizing about the limitations of people or groups of people, and don't we do that sometimes? We want, it would be better instead to look for good actions of people. Catch people. I had a psychologist once tell me when we were dealing with my stepson, catch him doing something right. And notice that and say something about that, because then that's what begins to increase. Focus on the good. And we can do that. We can begin to do that. When we catch ourselves awfulizing things or putting down a group of people or whatever, we want to change. We want to change our thinking. And remember, humankind is actually created to have within each of us a Christ self. Believing in another is the most empowering and effective thing that we can do for one another. Have you heard the phrase, something about people live up to their up or down to others' expectations? And it's really true. It's really true. So if I think that Alan is going to go out and make my tires flat before I leave here, and I let him know that I'm worried about that, and I'm sweating and just worrying, there's a better chance he's going to go and make my tires flat before we leave. Sit down. Someone was just telling me an example of we make these judgments, you know, pretty quickly about people, and they aren't really based on anything except our concerns, our expectations. So if we can begin to change our expectations to be positive, to be higher, we have a much better chance of being an agent of change for good. Expect good. So pray is number one. Expect good is number two. The third is bless people. Okay, again, you might be going, I don't know. Maybe my sister, but I don't know about that. But if we can, Butterworth says this, if you really believe in people, you will find it easy to bless them, and you should do so. When you meet and greet people, when you talk or write to them, let your faith in them flow through a namaskar attitude. There are many levels of consciousness in people and in ourselves. We can always make contact with any person on the level in him we choose. I see some nods, and that's really true. Who has gone to a store and you're feeling okay, you know, not in a good mood, not in a bad mood, just okay, and then there's a really grouchy salesperson, you know, and you can match their consciousness. You can let yourself go, but, and that may be a reaction, but you don't have to stay there. You can go, you know, this doesn't have to be my reality. I'm going to bless this person. I see that you're having a bad day. I bless you to myself. You know, they may not want to hear that. That's okay. But we can do it internally. If we can begin to bless people when they cut us off on the roads, when they are rude to us, when they say hurtful things to us, to know that they're doing the best they can in their human experience, and it doesn't have to take my day, we can bless them. We can bless them. And the fourth, act as if the change you want to see is already done. Obviously, this is what happens in each of the examples that we saw that Jesus does. It's already done. You know, he sees what the situation is. He hears them say, "If I touched your garment, I would be healed." It is done. The people who had confidence, they believed that it could be so, and he said, "It is done." He said it in the present tense. He said, "It is already so." And I've heard story after story after story. In my experience, people saying, "Well, I began to visualize for this or for that, knowing it would happen, just not knowing when, but it's going to happen." And it does. It does. It's amazing. And we can also do this. If you remember, on the last quote, it said something about people were rejoicing because of what human beings could do. It's written, and yes, we can do this too. What's going on? There's a lot going on in our world. And changing others, I think, is a possibility if we can learn to pray for them. The beautiful thing about affirmative prayer, I think the kind of prayer that Jesus used, is that we can all employ it. We can all do it ourselves. And as we begin to use it, affirming for ourselves health or wisdom or prosperity, as we begin to affirm that for ourselves, we find our own lives improving and so forth. And as we affirm for others, what we know is truth for them, wholeness, health, love, peace of mind. As we affirm that, hold that in our minds for other people, we begin to be those agents of change that can help people see that for themselves and claim it for themselves. So my invitation to you is to try it. Begin to see and to believe with your whole heart, the innate wholeness of each and every one of us. I invite you to release all and any thoughts of lack or limitation. I invite you to affirm good for yourself and for everyone else, and especially for others. This is what we can do to change others. We can follow Jesus' example, and it works. Let's take some time now to practice the presence. As we do each week, we take time to be still So I invite you, if you haven't already, to gently close your outer eyes and allow your bodies to relax. Let your seat completely support you. And perhaps at the top of your head, start noticing where there might still be some tightness or tension, and let it go. Move your inner exam downward, your shoulders, your back, your trunk, and wherever you might find any discomfort or tightness, tension, consciously, purposely let it go. Relax. And as we do each week, we use the breath as a way of focusing, of turning away from all of the outer and to become fully present and centered here and now. So we breathe in, pause, and release. Another deep breath in and release. Allow your mind to begin to track your breath and notice how it feels coming in and how it feels on the release. And as with each breath, we set an intention to relax even more, to keep our focus, our awareness within us, within our bodies. We let go. Here in this room, in this time, we are among friends. We are in a safe place. And as we begin to feel the stillness, we often begin to feel a sense of well-being, a sense of peace. The peace that Jesus talked about, the peace that has nothing to do with the outer world, the peace that is our inherent nature, the peace that is one of the attributes of our Creator. And that deep peace allows us to then begin to experience love, joy, in this space of quiet and peace. We can not only know with our minds, but we can feel that we were and are created in love. This sense of well-being and safety that we have is simply an extension of love. When we are still, we are able to feel and experience our connection, our oneness with our Creator. And just as when we are in the physical, we are embraced by a loved one with a hug, it's like that. In this quiet, in this silence, we are embraced in and with love. We are one with love. As love is our true nature, taking time like this to experience it, to connect with it, to feel it, we give ourselves the the opportunity to have it expand. It is always there. But by turning attention to it, it begins to grow and expand, and we can consciously and purposely let it expand and grow and move through us so that we become love in expression. So that as we go about the rest of our day, we do it as a loving person. We can let that love shine. We were instructed by our master teacher, Jesus, let your light so shine. And we do that by allowing the love to expand, grow, and express in us and through us and as us. And it is in this expression of love that we go through the world and have the opportunity to change the world, to be the change that we want to see, to be the peace that we want to see, to be love in expression. As we are connected in this love, we know with certainty what is ours to do. And we are able to confidently move forward with that guidance. And we are grateful. So as we do each week, we take a few moments in silence to experience our oneness. So I invite you now to simply be quiet, be still, be silent, and know and feel and be love in the silence. We are grateful for this awareness of our connection with the Creator, our oneness with the Creator. It is much like a lamp. The lamp cannot be turned on unless it is plugged in, and likewise our light can't shine unless we are connected to and with our Creator. So we are grateful for these times of silence, these times of connection. Grateful for the infilling of anything that we need in the moment, be it strength or courage. Guidance. Love. And we know that we take with us the fruits of this time together, knowing that often our day will seem more peaceful, will seem calmer regardless of what's going on outside, that we carry this light with us, and it helps to shine the way for us and for those around us. As we begin to bring our attention back to this time and this place, as we begin to bring to an end our time of contemplation, we bring with us that knowing and gratitude. And so with love and in gratitude, let us come together and affirm the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.